Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Bus Stop Podcast. I'm Eric Wesley, Manager of Communications and Recognition. I am joined today by Vice President of Technical Operations, Mike Walker. Mike, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely, Eric. Thank you.
We are going to dive in today into, an area that maybe not many of our employees are very familiar with. That's technical operations maintenance. And I guess we could start there. What is there a difference? I hear technical operations sometimes, and sometimes I hear maintenance. Is there a difference between the two?
Well, there really is. You know, maintenance is a function of technical operations, if you will. You know, within the technical operations group, we have our maintenance division. We also have engineering, and we also have system support as well. So, you know, when you talk about maintenance, yeah, pretty much we're the guys that maintain the bus. That's what everybody really knows and sees. But there is a bit more to what the function actually does.
Okay, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But first, let's start by letting the audience know a little bit about you, Mike, and who you are and your background. So tell us, how long have you been with Greyhound, and where did you come from?
Well, that's something I like to talk about a lot, Eric. Thanks for the opportunity. I've been with Greyhound now for just over 6 years. I started with Greyhound in October of 2010. Prior to that, I was an employee of United Parcel Service, or Big Brown, UPS, as most people know. I was employed with UPS for 34 years. And through that 34 years with UPS, I was also involved in technical operations, if you will. But there we called it simply the automotive team, if you will.
Okay.
So I was there as a mechanic. I was a supervisor, manager, in a variety of different assignments over all those years. Up into my retirement from UPS, where I was in the corporate office as director of engineering.
Difference between the two, obviously you're not dealing with, I guess, people in a sense with UPS, whereas here you're dealing with transporting people. How's that been for you?
It's been like night and day. You know, on the UPS side, we had a lot of equipment, but you're right. You know, there weren't any passengers. We hauled around a lot of boxes, if you will. And boxes don't complain much about the temperature unless they're candles, you know. And they don't care if the ride is rough or smooth. And they certainly don't use Wi-Fi, right? So, you know, the boxes, it was a lot easier, if you will, from a maintenance perspective. We didn't deal with the customer interface side of the business. But it was all about just the operation of the vehicle itself and how well it performed. And as everybody knows here at Greyhound, it's all about the customer experience. You know, our customers really drive everything that we do. And it's no different with the technical operations function as well. You know, everything that we do is to make sure that the customer has a piece of equipment or has that we give them a piece of equipment that's going to be conducive to a nice experience for the customer.
Now, at UPS, I've never seen a UPS truck, I guess, that was broken down on the side of the road. Does that happen, or did that happen?
Well, I can tell you the truth. You know, our thinking at UPS through my whole career here and how I was taught was, you know, we wanted the fleet to look so good that if it was sitting on the side of the road, it looked like it belonged there. And I think many times that's what people thought. If you saw that UPS truck sitting around and there was any kind of facility or residential area or business anywhere nearby, that guy must be making a delivery. So I'm glad to hear that most people don't think they broke down. You know, that's the same sort of thought, if you will, we're working to do with the Greyhound fleet as well, making sure that no matter where it sits, it always looks like we're ready and we're in service.
And recently, I guess to help that along, technical operations has had some restructuring going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've gone through a couple transformations in the 6 years that I've been here with you, with Greyhound. And just trying some different things, too, to understand what the best way to run the business is. Some of these changes really just driven by the need of changes within the business itself. When I first came here, we had, I believe, two regions within the U.S., one in Canada. We changed it to three. We actually changed to four. We shifted back, you know. We decided to go back to four operating regions in the U.S. and then one in Canada. The biggest reason we did it, though, was to ensure that at the front line that all of our folks are getting the amount of support that they need to make the business run. If you think about all the things that we do, and this has nothing to do with the engineering side of the business so much, it's just about the maintenance side. There's a lot of things that got to happen on a day-to-day basis. There's lots of training, lots of communication, lots of oversight needed, if you will, to make sure the business runs. And in order for us to do that and do it effectively, we have to have a management group or management team that represents and takes care of the needs at, of the field. So we thought it best at this point to make a change, go to 4 region maintenance managers, which I think will give us a much better ability, if you will, to work with the front line of the business.
And you said there's one in Canada as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so for a total of 5.
Any plans? I know we have operations in Mexico. Any plans to do the same with Mexico?
You know, it depends on how the business in Mexico grows. You know, right now we have those folks reporting to the South region, if you will, just because it makes sense, right? But we do have a management structure there. We don't have a region maintenance manager per se, but there is a managerial structure in Mexico.
So most people, when they think about technical operations, they know we have garage locations all across North America. Mm-hmm. We also have what are called service islands. What exactly are the service islands and what do they do?
Service islands probably don't get the attention that they really deserve. Most times the coaches are at our major facilities. That's where we do the majority of our work. But the service islands have become a very vital part to what we do. If you think about the network of coaches and all the small towns that we go through, somewhere well above 3,000 destinations we hit a day, right? So if you think about that, you know, there's no way we could have a major garage in every one of those. In some of these locations, we need to have assistance to keep the coaches moving. And that's the part that the service islands, or the role that the service islands play, if you will. Keeping those coaches moving between the major destinations, they may need some kind of minor work done to them. It's fixing wipers, it's fixing horns, it's addressing the driver's M7 concerns, sometimes as much as putting on an alternator or a starter, but whatever it takes to move that coach into that next facility, that's why the service islands are there.
Now, since Greyhound is a 24-hour operation, are any of our garage locations 24 hours, or is there any thought to that?
We have a few of them that run 24/7. The Los Angeles garage is a great example, 24/7. The Dallas garage, 24/7. The Atlanta garage, 24/7. There's some other ones as well. Most of our major locations operate 24/7.
Okay. We have, I guess you guys recently have a new system called the M5 system. Mm-hmm. What exactly is that?
Well, you know, I've been getting asked that question for a long time. It's taken us a long time to get it launched. Been a dream of the functions of getting this thing put in place for quite a number of years. And M5 really is the heartbeat of our entire information system, if you will. It will contain all the records and the workings for the entire management of the bus fleet. Okay, you know, prior to M5, we had MCMS, which did the same thing, but it's a very old legacy system, somewhat antiquated and, I have to say, obsolete. So M5 is the new version, if you will, kind of bringing the maintenance group into the 21st century as well, right?
Okay. Now, we mentioned earlier the difference between technical operations and maintenance, but there's some other branches to this tree of technical operations that you mentioned, like engineering. Can you elaborate on those a little bit?
Yeah, I love talking about engineering. that's where we get to play, right? That's our sandbox. You know, it's about building coaches, if you will. And not just, you know, going and buying them, but actually working with the manufacturers, the original equipment manufacturers, to design and build coaches. Two of them that we're very proud of. We're going to see how they work out. But we got two brand new project coaches that we did, one with Van Hool Company. They're in Belgium. And now we have another one called the Irizar I6, which is a company that we work with out of Spain that we're releasing. As a matter of fact, we just took delivery of these last week. So we're going to be putting these in service over the next couple of weeks as well. Real exciting products. But these are coaches that we got an opportunity from an engineering perspective to work with these manufacturers from the drawing board right to the end of the assembly line when the last pieces get bolted on, which is a pretty exciting thing to do.
So essentially you're designing or helping to design the coach that we'll be using in the future?
Exactly. Exactly. Helping to create the, you know, the next generation travel, if you will, through the eyes of Greyhound, you know.
And what will these two coaches that we're, I guess, going to be prototyping in the next year or so, what are some of the advantages to these that are not on the current coaches?
I'd say one is just the styling. The Irizar in particular is very aerodynamic. You know, it's got a real slopey, swoopy look to it, you know. It's got the gold wing mirrors, if you will, that are aerodynamically supposed to be a little bit better, if you will. The weight is different. It's a little bit lighter coach. We did some different things with suspension and different things for driver comfort. You know, the whole cockpit area, how it's designed. It's all suited to better, built or created to better suit the driver. You know, give them a much more pleasurable experience driving the coach as well. Different types of AC systems now that are roof mounted as opposed to being mounted in the back on the engine. Okay, different types of cooling systems now to help it cool more efficiently. So there's a lot of things that we build into this thing to try to give it a little bit better look, make it look a little bit more modern, if you will, more appealing to the eye, but also to give the driver a better experience as well as the passenger.
Are there any other areas in technical operations that people may not know about?
You know, we also have our own graphics and design guy, if you will, Joe Briones. Everybody knows Joe, yeah. Right? This is the guy that creates just about any bulletin you see hanging on a wall anywhere in any of the buildings. This is the guy that does that kind of stuff. We also, here of recent, we got this guy making videos for us now. So we're actually getting cutting edge with how we train our workforce as well. So we're doing our own sort of podcast type thing, if you will, that we can send out. We're doing training videos and training snippets that Joe builds. A lot of them, he actually commentates and does everything himself with the videos. So he's a one-man band, but he's a very, very talented guy and does some real great things for us.
So what's the outlook for 2017 look like for technical operations?
Promising. We're looking for just an overall better performance, you know, for the fleet. You know, we had a very challenging year this last fiscal year. You know, and everybody knows the story of the maintenance man. There's a lot of work involved in it to get it done right. So we got a new coach order that's coming. We're all excited about that. You know, bringing new equipment into the fleet does wonders for our maintenance program. And it frees our technicians up to do a lot more than what they do today when they get bogged down with real heavy maintenance. So we're real excited about that. Also, what it's going to do for the customer experience. You know, we're looking for these new coaches to help us really do better with our on-road performance. And that's always better for the customer and our drivers. You know, we don't want them sitting on the side of the road or sitting waiting for someone to come and help them get the coach up and running down the road. We don't need that. You know, we want these coaches moving. We want our customers moving. We want to be on time. We want to make sure that we're doing all the right things to give the right experience for our operators as well as the customers. And new coaches are one of the things that are going to help us get that. Obviously, the inception of M5 is going to do some wonderful things for us. The data, we can't wait for this to start streaming some real good data to help us understand better ways to improve our processes, to improve our product for all of our people as well as the coach industry, too. So good stuff for this next year.
Well, Mike, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on the Bus Stop Podcast. This concludes another episode of the Bus Stop Podcast. Join us again next month as we bring you another topic. But as always, remember, you are Greyhound. Be first, be safe, be stellar.